Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast. I'm your boy, the franchise player, Double B Tabloid, joined by the mixologist himself, Mr. What the hell does this say? I'm not even gonna read that. Chemical Julian, J&J Security, hiding in the wow, you guys just came out of there like some real creepy shit. Yeah, that was real creepy. You guys are fucking creepy, dude. Welcome to the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast, AEW Dynamite Recap. And boys, Dynamite started out tonight with a new and improved. I mean, I don't know if it's improved, but a new logo, new setup.
It was 2.0.
And these guys talking about it being 2.0.
Right there.
I can't believe you guys. Julian.
It was the AEW color splash. Yeah, they're getting a new start. It's actually their season premiere.
That's right, season premiere.
I do like it though. I like the look of the colors in the back.
Mean that?
Yeah,
that right there.
I mean, honestly, like the ring ropes changed color for each individual person. It looked like, it didn't look trashy. It looked pretty classy, to be honest with you. It was a lot better than NXT. NXT was just color splash after color splash. I mean, I did get a couple of the Duralex condom jokes about the intro, the entrance tunnel, but I know it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, Julian.
Oh, you want results?
Let's go ahead and break down these results of the show.
So, you know, the show started off with Swerve and
Swerve's house.
And you know, he said maybe he's not supposed to be the champion, but he's the one who's here, and he came out with his partner Samoa Joe, and they went head to head with the Undisputed Kingdom's Matt Taven and Mike Bennett,
the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions.
Who do you think won this match?
Honestly,
and here's the hint. They went to picture in picture.
Honestly, I think it was really good. Like, it was a good way to introduce like the new season premiere with a good match. Start to show off hot, because that's what you're supposed to do a show. Start off hot, let it build up there till it's boiling over, and then you cool it down with that main event so people can go home happy. This was a really good match, but they screwed up with the fact that like you knew there was going to be a tag team match. I mean, I was waiting for Tate Long to come out there and be like, you're going to go 1-1 with the Undertaker player? You know what I mean? It was so obvious it was going to turn into a tag team match.
You're going to go 1-1 with Mark Galloway.
But the teams worked out. It was actually a really good match.
Yep.
And I think the right team won, and the right ending happened at the end, because you see there was a little bit of one-upmanship between Swerve and Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, Swerve wants to be AEW's first black champion.
And Swerve did all the work. Swerve got the pin. And then Swerve got laid out for getting that pin.
Hey, but remember, Samoa Joe's not about working hard. He's about working smart.
Hey, that's the mentality of a champion. Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
But wait, who's down to the ring to stare down Swerve? None other than Wardlow.
I was on another podcast earlier watching it live. And I'm just going to be honest. I said this there. I'm going to say it right here. Wardlow is a cuck. Because if Wardlow wins the championship, he's going to hand it over to Adam Cole.
Correct.
Just like he did MJF.
Correct.
Like they're rehashing the storyline. And I'm not happy about that, because I've been defending AEW recently because of the things that they've had going on. Some of the ideas that Tony Khan and the guys are putting together are actually working. They're gelling finally. And this right here was a good way to start off the new season at AEW, so to speak.
Wasn't the whole
next week, next week at Big Business, Wardlow gets a shot at the AEW World Championship.
That goddamn
Wasn't the whole point of the storyline that Wardlow was tired of being someone's lackey and he got out of it to be someone else's lackey,
Josh?
And now he's being someone else's lackey, and he's fine with it.
So here's a question.
You think this makes sense?
How long is Adam Page's foot going to be busted?
I mean, honestly, I don't know the extent of injury, but I mean, look at me. It took me like almost 5 months to heal from a partially torn meniscus. He had surgery on his foot.
It depends on how bad the surgery.
It depends on how bad the injury was.
You said it right there, Fox Man. It depends. It depends on if he's still wearing some panties to soak up his pee while he's there in a wheelchair while he's watching the ground. And during that time, there is no reason for Wardlow to be playing his second fiddle, because if Wardlow wins the world championship, which is probably not going to happen, but you know what? Maybe AEW will go to the anything can happen mindset, and maybe Wardlow will win the world championship. I don't think it will, but if they chose to do that, it would be the perfect time for Wardlow to assert himself and make him look like a champion and super kick at Adam Cole out of his wheelchair.
I like that. I like the fact that you're trying to give Wardlow some substance
and trying to give him something to be proud of.
And,
man, I'm trying.
But honestly, man, Wardlow has put himself in a position where he is just a muscle. Like, honestly, if I were booking this group the way they're booking them, you got the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. You now have the AEW International Champion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would send him after Christian. Hold the TNT title. They're going to be the new four horsemen of AEW.
So I hear what you're saying.
Or even the Ring of Honor World Championship. You know what I mean?
That is the definition of busy work. That is the definition of putting someone to a secondary title just so you can keep your quote-unquote champ, who doesn't hold the championship, by the way, but it keeps the world championship safe. And that would be a complete and utter disservice. I mean, because if Wardlow becomes TNT champion again, what's he going to do? Fight Powerhouse Hobbs, fight Brian Cage, fight a whole bunch of people that have nothing to do with Adam Cole. Baby.
I mean, honestly, you know what? You're right about that. You're right. That could be stupid. Okay, granted. But what AEW has done before has been stupid as well. You're also putting together a group of guys that, okay, you got the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions in this group. Now the AEW World Tag Team titles are vacant. Now those guys can go off to the AEW World Tag Team titles, but you got to have something for Wardlow to do that's going to make that group look good. Now they're the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. Send them over to Ring of Honor, get another Ring of Honor title. That way they run two companies. They run two promotions. They're that damn good.
Good luck with
that. You know what I'm saying?
We're thinking right there.
Yeah, I guess the booker, my booker mind just took over, and I'm trying to, you know, book some real good shit that makes sense.
But
you're trying to make sense of something that's from the mind of someone that does.
I
mean,
that's what I do. I make sense.
That does this a lot.
He tries to make sense of something that doesn't make sense. Yeah. This is good for wrestling. I mean, this is a sport that doesn't make sense. It's all a work, but whatever. We're still watching every week.
True.
So, speaking of which, up next we have Hook versus Brian Cage. And let me tell you something. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
I mean, it was the FTW title match, so it was FTW rules, which means there were no rules.
Correct.
Kind of hard to fuck that up.
I've been in matches
that were like that, and we're just like, there's no way this can get messed up. And then
I don't know about that.
Then no one's on the same page.
But what it did is this match was completely made to put over Hook. He went ahead and put Brian Cage in his submission hold, the red drum. Brian Cage tried to flip out of it. And Hook just held the tension in, and Brian Cage went unconscious. And this is, for Hook, this is big business right here. Mm-hmm. For Brian Cage, not so much. But for Hook, this is big business because he took down a monster.
They're putting Hook over really well. I know the card for Big Business next week is supposed to be really wild. I don't like how they try to position Jericho. Like, I don't understand what Jericho's doing there. I'm just gonna leave it there
anymore.
It doesn't.
Jericho, okay, Jericho is a former AEW champion. He had the whole thing with the bubbly. He's been there since day one to bring credibility to AEW, so I get it. They're kind of giving him his due and keeping him in the forefront. People love to sing along with his theme song. It's Chris Jericho. That's fine. So we're gonna see as much of Chris Jericho as we do the Young Bucks.
I just don't
and say it's good or bad. This is what's gonna happen.
I'm just one of those people that like
just let's milk this for all it's worth.
Things have to make sense to me. If you want me to enjoy the product, you want me to enjoy the show, you want me to sit back and be like, man, this was a great show. Dude, come on, brother.
Whoa, like, hold up. Are you saying that you want steaks?
Yes.
Some kind of sanity.
I got the barbecue grill out. I want some steaks.
You can get chicken, you can get salmon, you can get halibut. You get steaks all the time.
About steaks. There is no steaks here.
I mean, are we going to see Jericho versus Hook for the FTW championship?
Probably. And Jericho's
not. I hope not.
And Jericho's going to put him in the Walls of Jericho.
I hope not.
Which is going to be a glorified Boston Crab. And Hook may or may not tap out. Depends on if Jericho decides he doesn't want to lose or not.
I don't know, man. I'm just, I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing. And again, I don't want anybody to think that we're crapping on AEW. In wrestling as a whole, if you have a match that has no stakes, I don't care if it's a fantasy booking, I don't care if it's something the fans have wanted to see for a long time, I don't care if it's two old dudes who you miss from wrestling back in the 80s. If there's no stakes, if no one's going to retire, if there's no championship, if there's no I'm taking your number one contender spot, stakes still matter in professional wrestling. And that is what really drives the emotion and drives the impetus for you to want to watch a match, because you need stake. The whole question is, why are these dudes wrestling?
Exactly. So, there has to be a reason why.
So it was Sting and Darby Allin. They had the tag team championships, and it was Sting's last match. Why are they wrestling? Well, because the Young Bucks want to retire Sting, and they want the tag team championships. And as big of a match as that is, they still had stakes. It wasn't like Ric Flair's last match. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I totally get what you're saying. That's my problem. That's my problem. Like, none of this makes any goddamn sense.
So,
oh man.
You know, the idea
left a long time ago.
It's the whole reason why things like gimmick matches like the Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber draw eyes, because the stakes are that the winner of this match is going to WrestleMania.
You're going to WrestleMania or whatever the next
pay-per-view is. If it's Roman Reigns versus The Rock, you know that the stakes are going to be who is the true tribal chief. If it's Omos versus Gunter, the stakes might be who's got the hardest chop. Or maybe the stakes will be, can Omos hit the Omos driver 98? I don't know. But, you know, at least
there's it's going to be a five-star classic.
Either way.
It's going to be something.
Yeah, correct. And we want stakes. And that's why even when you have, like, Daniel Bryan fighting Japanese wrestler X, is it a quote-unquote fantasy booking match? Sure. Yeah. But what are the stakes?
Well,
nothing.
Does it mean something? Is there something on the line for this to happen?
And so I'll even say that for Elimination Chamber Perth, when you had Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax, were there any stakes there? Not really. The only real big headline there was that Rhea Ripley was headlining in her home country. And did I really need to watch the match? Not really, because I knew Rhea Ripley was going to win. I mean, you got 20,000 soccer hooligans watching the match, and you think Rhea Ripley going to lose in her home country? Facts. Hell no.
Big facts.
Hell no. They would have burnt that place down.
Bro, I would have booked that to happen. I would have booked that to happen. Rhea Ripley would have jobbed out to Nia Jax. I would have booked that to happen because I love controversy. Controversy breeds cash. That would have been, man, that would have been awesome.
WWE just got finished paying MLW $20 million for interfering on contracts. I don't think they're ready to pay for a stadium.
I mean, that's true.
Because remember in ECW, they said, it wasn't ECW, but in Punk's last match in WWE, they had a big ass banner that said, "If Punk loses, we riot." And you know what? That might have happened.
I mean, I'm just saying, Chicago's
Also, the if the Cena wins, we riot sign was also at ECW.
ECW.
Correct, and that was legit, dude. I mean, that was
I can legit believe
that they would have like stormed the entire place.
Yeah,
people were upset.
Yeah, so definitely Cena had to not go over that night. There was no Super Cena that night. Yeah.
So before we get any further into this, let me run down something real quick for you guys. Next week, AEW Big Business. Remember I said it'd be kind of cool to have Okada and Mercedes? Boston? Remember I said Okada and Mercedes would be a great gimmick to get Big Business over because, you know, it's both money, right? So we have some matches that were made tonight. We got the AEW World Heavyweight Championship match next week. Samoa Joe taking on the winner of the Scramble, Wardlow. Okay. We also got my favorite, Willow Nightingale taking on Rio.
Yes.
I think Willow's going to turn heel. I'm excited for it. Please, God. Oh, God. I'm begging you, God. Please let this happen.
Especially because Stokely Carmichael said, my favorite wrestler.
Darby Allin versus Jay White. That's going to be another great match. And the expected debut of Mercedes
Money. Without glass this time.
Yeah. Darby came out tonight, and Jay White came out, and Darby did this whole sting thing with the bat. Mm-hmm. I was excited for that. I'm like, and he whispered in his ear, and then Jay White looked at him like, "What? Whoa. That was some shit. That was some shit that Sting used to do to people." So I'm down. I'm here for it. I'm totally here for it. So that's one, two, three big matches added to next week. So I'm really excited about big business next week. We'll get into big business on Saturday. We'll talk about that. But other than that, Dynamite was pretty much a wash. What's next, Julian? I mean, it's not like some cool stuff happened today. I mean, Jim Ross signed another contract for a year.
This is like you're just giving me the setup. So we had Killswitch versus Daddy Magic.
The fuck?
Why? You're welcome. You're welcome.
Why?
You're welcome. You are so welcome for that.
It was the setup. Yeah, so next we had Killswitch versus Daddy Magic. And the bad part here is that Christian didn't even come out and talk about anybody's dead father.
Got him.
Which, you know what? We are some sick people. As wrestling fans, we are some sick people. Because, unfortunately, we look forward to Christian coming out
Oh yeah, we definitely
do. About somebody's dead father
is dead and making that a meme.
I've been saying this all along. Christian is everyone's favorite dad.
Or if you're looking for this guy's mom, check this address.
Bro, that was so
right
savage.
In the middle of a graveyard.
He talked about dude's father and said, check this address, and the address.
You'll find his mother. And
that's, oh my God. That is so wrong on so many levels, but
we love it.
It puts him over as just one of the greatest. Like, you're just a vile motherfucker, but we love you for it.
Bro, I'm here. He makes my Wednesday nights. When I see Christian come on my screen, I'm like, yep, here we go. I start calling my dad. Like, you okay, Dad? Okay, thank you.
It's like
Christian ain't coming for me.
It's like this. If you're having a bad day and you're watching wrestling like this, you're having a rough day.
Oh, yeah. I've been having a rough week. Today just made my day with a Christian gimmick.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. When Christian comes out, whatever you were thinking of, you're
like, okay, it's time to be terrible now.
Dude, you know what? And for anybody who watches professional wrestling, this is why we love professional wrestling the way that we do. We have all had some fucked up days, weeks, and years, but for the 2 hours, 3 hours that you turn on wrestling on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever the day is, whenever you turn it on, all that shit goes away because there is some really fucked up entertaining stuff that happens. I swear to God, even when you were watching WCW Saturday Night, when you got the Renegade versus Paul
Horton. Hey, look, I'm going to say this right here, right now. On the Roundtable Rewind show, which comes on Friday nights, me and Julian were watching this show. Julian said, I got a barn burner match for you. It's for the WCW Television Championship.
It is
the Renegade versus Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, right? I was like, let's get it. What up, Blake? Welcome to the show. I was like, okay, let's get it. Me and Julian, we usually like talk about matches and we do rewinds of matches that we've seen before. Neither one of us had saw this match. So we're sitting down, getting all comfortable. You know, I got my drink over here and I'm like, ready? All right, we hit the play. We start the stream. We do our little get down. We start talking, blah, 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 yada, yada. Right? So we go a good like 2 minutes just bantering back and forth. Like me and Julian do all the time. We banter back and forth, have a good time. Then I was like, what the fuck just happened? And he was like, wait, what? Literally, ladies and gentlemen, the stream lasted 5 minutes. The match lasted two. We were like, what?
Oh my God.
Thank you for joining us. We didn't know what to do.
Dude.
It was the match went so fast that Paul Orndorff didn't even get his damn robe off, bro.
Didn't get his robe off. Dude, that is how we got Randy Orton on the show, or
yes,
Randy Orton. That's how we got Randy Hogan on the show.
Yeah,
because we were watching Randy Hogan matches where he was getting squashed, and we're like, we need this guy on the show.
I was like, he is the fucking icon. I need this guy on the show.
We need him on here to tell his story because this dude is awesome. Mm-hmm. And he came out every week, and he was like, hey, hey Randy, where'd you go after the match? To the pay window.
To the pay window.
To the pay window.
What does Randy Hogan and Dusty Rhodes got in common? They both went to the pay window.
Both went to the pay window. And, sure, I mean,
got my paycheck.
For you guys, hey, look, I was in grad school getting my ass kicked every week, Monday through Friday, during the Attitude Era, when the NWO made their debut and all that, and when Stone Cold Steve Austin was in his heyday, and so it made life in general that much more pleasurable for me because I just got to watch these things play out that were totally absurd and ridiculous, but so enjoyable from a wrestling fan's perspective. And that's why we watch it. I mean, that's why we watch it week in and week out. And so it doesn't matter if it's the Shockmaster or the Super Shockmaster.
Okay, I'm not ever gonna forgive you for that. The Super Shockmaster. Who in the actual two fucks came up with that shit?
Bad Company.
Ole Anderson.
I bet. Rest in peace, Ole.
The Ric Flair's Magnificent Seven. You know, everybody remembers Sid Vicious jumping off the second rope, busting his leg.
I remember that. I mean, there's
been some memories created from professional wrestling that you just, dude, it's just, I'll tell you this. Whenever I go to a live show, nothing makes me happier when I see somebody bring in like their 2 and 3 year old kid and they're holding their kid up to watch the matches. Because and like the kid's having a good time, because number one, that's a future wrestling fan, but number two, this is a parent who's a fan sharing their love for the sport with their kid.
You know, dude, this is
just one of those things that you can't pay money for. Like, people always talk about watching professional wrestling with their grandmother, and wasn't nobody worse than them old ladies at ringside. with their loaded purses with bricks.
Ringside Rosie.
Bro.
Yeah.
She came with a brick.
Dude, I mean, you hear Hogan talk about it. All the wrestlers talk about them old ladies, especially in the southern states, who was at ringside with a loaded purse.
Yo, I remember wrestling a show in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm the bad guy. I'm talking mad shit to this guy. And he throws me outside the ring. He dives on top of me. And as I'm getting up, this lady hits me with a fucking cane. Crack. And she goes, "You suck, bad guy." I just, you know how like you get like in a state of like, what the fuck just happened?
I looked
up at her. Okay, so Julian knows I talk shit with the best of them. I really just couldn't say anything. I just looked at her. And I rolled back in the ring. I didn't say shit to her because it was just, I was astonished at this 900-year-old lady who probably sat next to Rosa Parks on the bus, who probably was there when Moses parted the Red Sea. She was on the other side asking for a lift. Like when Methuselah was walking the earth, she was hanging out with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like dumbfounded. Didn't know what to say.
If you ever seen some kid at ringside yell at Bad Blood and tell him that he sucks, and he tells the kid, "Tell your mom
one time
I'm gonna be in her room tonight, and I got the card key that she gave me
one time."
It's hard text.
One time I baptized a pastor, just one time.
He had no mercy on this kid, and it was, I was there for it. 110%, as mathematically impossible as that is, I was there for it because I was like, you know what, kid?
You had that shit coming. But you know, the best part about that is like it's fun because you get the crowd, you get the people involved in the match. Like, some of these people, man, like IWC, I'm gonna tell you, IWC, I can't stand you guys 99% of the time because you guys are armchair quarterbacks. You guys are the guys who sit in your mom's basement and play WWE 2K24, and you think that's real life and how this business is really ran. But at the end of the day, you guys are the funniest ass people in this business because you guys believe. I wrestled a show in New York. Me and my partner were in the car when we were wrestling against Brian Excel and Amazing Red. Mm-hmm. They pulled over 3 blocks away from the arena in the snow and told us we had to walk. Because fans believe wrestling is so 1,000% like real.
Yep.
And it is real. Yep. Trust me. I've got bones, bruises, missing teeth, fucking concussions, torn cartilages. I've had all kinds of injuries because of professional wrestling. So when I say it's real, it's real. But these fans took the literal word of the literal definition of the word real, and that's how they live by their, they live it that way. AEW is starting to make it look like that in some aspects, but in some aspects, it still looks pretty fucking stupid.
When I was at Penn State and I had to drive like 5 miles to get my cable box, the decoder, in order to watch WCW pay-per-views, I was returning my box one time and there's this person there, one of the country locals, and he's like, "Did you enjoy the pay-per-view?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, man, it was really good. It was Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart in the Iron Man match. I think that was a really good thing what Gorilla Monsoon did when he restarted the match, because that old cheating Shawn Michaels ain't no way he deserved to win that match." And I was like, Yeah.
You're right, sir.
You're right, sir.
You're 100% bro, I right.
You, when I was at Penn State, and this is back when WWE used to tape. Oh, fuck, 6-8 hours at a time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because there
WCW
was
the Saturday night WCW main event. WCW, there, yeah, it was crazy.
It was, bro. So this was, man, this was the Bryce Jordan Center, and I don't know how many shows they taped, but we were there a good 6 hours. Hey, bottom line, got my money's worth. But I tell you what, the six dudes behind me, they had about 18 teeth between them.
Oh, God.
They were, God damn it. Come on, Sid Justice. You can do this, man. Come on. Ain't no way Sid Justice should be losing.
Yeah, bro, we can go for days. We can go for days, bro, with these stories.
It's we had King Kong Bundy come up. We had King Kong Bundy come up for an indie show, and I had my friend Michelle with me, who I was like, "Ah, come on, it's the wrestling show. You got to come check this out." And so she's up with us on the stands, and King Kong Bundy, before he went for the splash, he took down the shoulder straps for his singlet, and he flexed his titties at her. Not maybe not directly at her, but in her general direction.
Just in that general direction.
Just in her general direction. And she was like, "Oh my God, what did you bring me to?" I was crying. Tears, laughing, because he just like boop 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 boop, and she was horrified by it. I was like, I don't care what I paid. I just got my money's worth right here.
Man, that's so funny.
This here is why we watch professional wrestling.
That's right. That is exactly why we watch professional wrestling. If you like what you're watching here on the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast, if you're watching on the Twitch channels, the Twitter, all these cool places, you can go find us on twitch.tv/roundtableprowrestlingpod. Go subscribe, ladies and gentlemen. If you have Amazon Prime, it is completely 1001% and mathematically correct, 1001% free, F-R-E-E free, to go subscribe if you have Amazon Prime. And you know, if you don't, it's still $4.99. Go subscribe. Go support these guys. If you're following us on Twitter, you know, we do recap shows. We do Twitch shows. We do YouTube specials. Go subscribe right now. Show some love. We'd like to show it back
Julian, now since you said that about King Kong Bundy, I have that like pictured in my head.
Bro, it goes nowhere. Hey, for those of you who I know there's some of you out there, just a couple of you who hate the AVPs of AEW. Mm-hmm. There's some of you who have a little something against the Young Bucks, or the Bucks, I should say, because they ain't that young anymore.
No, they're not the Bucks anymore either. They're the AVPs now.
The AVPs. But they're the Bucks, formerly known as Young Bucks, and they did something vile tonight. They introduced.
No. Before you say who they introduced, need to explain why they came out and why they did two dastardly things before the third thing.
So they came out because, okay, so I never had the chance to talk about this on the podcast. Contrary to professional wrestling tradition, Sting retired, and he did not go out on his back. For those of you who have watched professional wrestling for years, you all know that when you go out counting the lights, but not Sting, not the Icon.
Not for me.
He's still sharper at the main event.
He and Darby Allin won their match against the Young Bucks at Revolution. Sting retired as one half of the AEW tag team champions. I'm telling you right now, if I had been asked to bet money on this match, I would have lost money, because traditionally when you leave the business, mm-hmm. when you lose a loser leaves town match, and like you're actually going to leave, when when your time is up, you do the deed.
J-O-B.
You do the J-O-B. You do the dutiful. You lay down and you have your shoulders pinned to the match, to the mat, and it's one, two, three, and it's a wrap. You go out on your back like a lot of your girlfriends.
And wow. Those are his comments. His comments alone. They do not reflect those of the Roundtable for the podcast and or the network. Hey,
I apologize to all my ex-girlfriends out there. But guess what? You did the tradition.
Wow.
My wife?
We're going to get canceled.
My wife? She's still in the
Wow. Something is very wrong with you guys, I'm telling you.
So Sting retired as champion. That is what had Bret Hart so pissed off at the Montreal Screwjob. He was like, I'm not retiring as champion. And Vince McMahon was like, the fuck you're not. you're dropping that strap. This is my company. I don't care what you say. Sting, not so much. And Sting reportedly, according to reports, Sting was like, I want to do this the traditional way. Shoulders to the mat, one, two, three, I'm out. I'm done. But everybody around him was like, no, we respect this dude too much. We want him to leave as champion. It'll be a feel-good moment, et cetera, et cetera. So Sting left as champion. So in the ring today, we get Darby Allin. He's carrying his tag team strap. He says that, hey, after having a partner like Sting, like I'm not going to be out here defending these belts, mm-hmm. like just picking random tag team champion partners, on a weekly basis. So I'm laying the belt down. And next week I got a match, yada, yada, yada. And the Bucks are like, guess what? We're the Bucks and we're dicks. So
pretty much. Pretty much.
So number one, we're putting ourselves in the tag team tournament to determine the new tag team champions.
I'm surprised they give themselves a bye to the finals.
No shit. Oh, and by the way, we've got a new member for the Elite. Wait.
Hold on. You gotta if you're gonna tell the story, you gotta bring the fans into it. They came out to the ring and they're like, Hangman Adam Page, we're friends. One of our good buddies, one of our very best friends, but you put your hands on the official and you're pretty much fired from the Elite, right?
Gone.
And they were like, and Kenny, you haven't been around for a while, and you're kind of a loser too. So, I mean, no offense. You're not gonna, we could have told them this in private on the group chat,
but
you found out on TV like everybody else. Oh, well, you're fired from the Elite too. So the podcast I was on earlier, people were like, oh, shit, did they just get fired from AEW? I'm like, no. If you listen to what they said, they said you were fired from the Elite. Then they were like, we have a new member of the Elite. So as they go to beat up, now you can tell the rest of your story.
So as they go to beat up, they come down to the ring, and they hit the BTE trigger, and they announced the new member of the Elite. It's the Rainmaker. Kingston came out to be like, fuck y'all. But he found himself on the receiving end.
It was so funny. He was like, y'all were out there saying, if I talk shit about you, y'all going to find me. He was like, let's just do this right now. And take a wad of money in his pocket, threw it in his face. He goes, I'm talking shit about you now.
God,
as they commenced to beating his ass.
So Kazuchika Okada is all Elite.
The Rainmaker is not Elite.
He's not only all Elite. He is part of the Elite. So and Kenny Omega's arch enemy, Kenny Omega's greatest rival from New Japan, is now in AEW, and he has taken his spot, not the dog spot, not.
Not a liver spot.
He took his spot. he took Kenny Omega's spot in the Elite. And now Kenny is old news. He can go work on video games, whatever the fuck he want to do. But Okada, the Rainmaker, is all Elite, and he is the Elite.
So yeah, I like the fact that he came in wearing a suit. He came in wearing a suit, money coming from the sky. He gets in the ring, and he lays waste to fucking Eddie Kingston. And he challenges him for the New Japan, I mean, for the Triple Crown Championship. Now, here's my problem with that.
Whoa.
Kazuchika Okada, one of the greatest Japanese wrestlers. I mean, one of the best wrestlers in the entire world.
The reason why I watched Wrestle Kingdom.
Like, he was the reason why most people tuned in to Wrestle Kingdom, right? One of the greatest of all time. You left New Japan to come to the United States to work for AEW just to challenge for a New Japan championship.
Less dates, more money.
Yeah, why?
Because the New Japan, because the Triple Crown Championship is the Ring of Honor World Championship, the AEW Continental Crown Championship, and the New Japan Strong Championship. So if he beats Eddie Kingston for the trios, for the trifecta of titles, doesn't that just make him a New Japan pro wrestler again?
No. Yeah. No, and here's why. Because he's going to win three titles. Well,
three
titles. Mm-hmm. And the one title that he had, arguably these three titles are bigger than the one title that he had. Is one of them a New Japan title? Yeah, but the other two are like one's AEW, one is Ring of Honor. So it's not a wash per se. And that's a lie. It's a step down. I ain't gonna lie.
You can't even point blank a lie, could you?
Because if you're
not your own argument.
If you're IWGP champion, I mean, come on, you're at the top of the world. My only hope is that he doesn't lose, because if he loses, even with shenanigans, if he loses. You know, it's,
I don't know, man. With the Bucks around, they'll shenan once and then they will shenan again.
And so let them shenan three times. I mean, but Okada needs to win in order for him not to be diluted in the AEW.
Like Jay White.
Yes. Yes. You are absolutely correct. Yes.
Hey, I'm honest. Like, one thing people will get from this podcast is completely 100% honesty.
So
we don't like it, we'll tell you.
And I'll draw you a parallel right here. As soon as CM Punk came back to WWE, LA Knight got diluted.
Facts.
Yeah.
And even with CM Punk being injured, LA Knight got diluted. And so I that's not where I want Okada to be. I don't want him coming back as Kano.
Please God, no.
Yeah. You know, he's paid his dues. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dude has definitely paid his dues. Once again, I stayed up till midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., whatever it was, to watch Wrestle Kingdom because of him. Okay, him because of Kenny Omega. And it wasn't because of Kenny Omega, it was because of him. Because the Rainmaker, he has that phenomenal lariat that he does, and him and Kenny was just like fucking magic. And so I would stay up late to watch them wrestle, and before they wrestled, I saw people in freaking anime costumes dancing. I saw some crazy ass New Japan stuff that you're only going to see New Japan, which is what makes them the brand that they are.
Oh yeah.
But I watched it for them, and I wanted to see that main event. And what I don't want is to see him get diluted or set down to a second tier. Like, for example, he better not win the TNT championship. He better not even be in the TNT championship
division
picture division.
I mean, it might happen.
No,
Not if he doesn't want Christian to talk about his dad.
God damn.
Wow. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen eventually.
That, I mean, that's not why you hire a person like him. The same way where they're hiring Monet.
Mercedes Money.
Yeah, there you go. Mercedes Monet, whatever. Monet, like, are you hiring her to be TBS champion? Are you hiring her to be the new Jade Cargill? No, you're hiring her to be a champion. You're hiring her to bring people to the matches, and not to the matches, to the main events.
Let's hope that's why
you're spending that money.
Let's hope so. How about that?
Like, you're not hiring her to be on Collision to just.
I mean, she can be a Collision cowboy for all we know.
You're not hiring her for Collision.
And then she'll win the AEW Women's Champion.
If she shows up on Collision, I'm blaming it on you. Because you know they watch this show. You know how much they watch this show. If we find out if she's on Collision, it is all Julian's fault. You
are not hiring her to be on Collision to wrestle Jamie Smith or Chloe Drake. On a random weekend, just for her to strut around with on her finger rings, like it can't say boss, so it has to be like in charge or something like that. I mean, you're hiring her to bring eyes to the product for the main event products, not for the second tier products. Like, she's got to be here to actually, maybe she's not putting
in my belt, what you're saying,
but she's got to fight champions.
Speaking of fighting champions,
for another year again.
Damn.
Speaking of fighting champions, the former TNT champion and the former former TBS champion Chris Statler had a very entertaining match.
Some assholes are blaring music down
versus Riho.
God damn it,
Riho. Okay. AEW needs to boost the women's. I mean, and I get it. Riho, I love Riho. She is so cute. She's the cutest little thing. Because she's
adorable.
Because she weighs about 75 pounds soaking wet with boots on and leg weights. And she's wrestling Chris Statlander, who is a 5'10" giant to the 5'8" chick.
Yeah.
This really was a David and Goliath match.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, Chris Statlander being one of the best big women in the industry, in my opinion, she lost. She lost to 100-pound soaking wet Riho, who was actually the first AEW Women's World Champion. This, to me, is slowly turning Statlander into a heel. Because the chain, Stokely brought the chain in. She said no. She threw the chain down. She got the surprise roll-up, 1, 2, 3. And that, and after the match, she was kind of aggressive during the match, kind of showing off. So she's showing those heel tendons. It's kind of good because she's been a face for way too long. And in case you didn't notice, she's herself from Best Friends and the whole Chaos click.
Yep.
But I can see Atlanta being a heel. But what I'm most excited for is for Willow Nightingale to turn heel. At the moment Willow turns heel, like when she did that promo the other day and she was like, "We're gonna kick your ass." I was like, "Whoa, she swore. Oh my god,
Willow, ever."
Willow, ladies and gentlemen, in case you don't know who Willow Nightingale is, I mean, you probably do. If you don't, you live in the dark. But she is the most optimistic, excited, like happy go lucky, like.
The power of positivity, pancakes, and unicorns.
Oh my god, she is.
Yep,
she is the New Day all in one. Like, she is that person. And for her to be like, "We're gonna beat your ass," I was like,
"She is."
I was like, "Let's go, Willow's turning heel, baby."
I wish Willow turned heel on me.
Stop it right now, Julian! Goddamn it! Stop it right now.
Who said that?
Willow's got some nice cakes. What? I didn't say nothing.
Also, that's why Bones' mom was there.
I didn't say nothing.
Hey, Bones.
Bones.
Bones, I have a question.
No.
Where's your mom at?
No. Bones and I. Bones. I'll tell her you said hi, but not anything else.
Tell your mom that your stepdad has said hello.
No.
And to come on and
join. That is so disrespectful and Christian Cage of you.
That's surprisingly better than my actual father.
Okay, I'm done.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I'm done. Wow. Thank you.
So,
thank
you know, if Willow ever wants to, you know, sign some autographs for me, I'd be more than happy.
Wow.
Julian, back in line, dude. Back in line.
Hey, so.
Back of the line.
So, we're talking about AEW Dynamite 2.0. This is the season premiere. This is the new show. This is like everything brand new. It's almost like the WCW Big Bang, but not really, because ain't nobody getting banged.
Stop it.
But we did have tonight the Domino's Pizza match of the night. And this was Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher in a 30-minute time match. Because guess what, y'all? Domino's will deliver your pizza in 30 minutes or less, or it's free. And guess what? Will Ospreay got his pizza at the end of
Remember, motherfuckers, we're not answering the door until 31 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
My pizza's free. It came 31 minutes late.
It's free, bitch.
A chunk of coal, to be honest.
I got to admit, though, this match, okay, we thought that Will Ospreay and
Mr. Fletcher.
Was match of the night. Was, dude, this match with him and Kyle Fletcher, Jesus Christ. Like, the guy is the best. I'm standing right here on this podcast. I know I'm going to get some heat from it. I'm give two shits. You know, you can at me on Twitter. I don't give a shit. Kenny Omega at one point was the best bout machine until Will Ospreay showed up. Will Ospreay is the very best wrestler in the world.
I'll give you that. But Kyle
WWE
Fletcher,
stands are going to be so pissed. I'm going to get people are going to be after me. They're going to be in the DMs talking shit. I'm saying it right here, right now, on this podcast, on all the Twitter pages, on the Instagram pages, the YouTube pages, the Twitch pages, all of that. Will Ospreay is the very best wrestler in the world.
So I have to offer an apology to Kyle Fletcher. Because I was like, a 30-minute time limit match. What, is Will Ospreay going to do a 29-minute rest hold? And I'm sorry. I was talking Who? Shit, and I apologize. I've apologized on the show many times. And I will apologize.
We both have, trust me.
Because even through a picture-in-picture, you know, commercial break, I mean, Kyle Fletcher was still getting his shit in. He was still doing what he had to do. And it was not a squash match. It was not Jobber of the Week match. Like I said, Josh was like, who the fuck is this? I was like, a Jobber of the Week.
I was also like, who the fuck is this guy?
Kyle Fletcher is tell you who Kyle Fletcher is. He is the Ring of Honor World Television Champion. He's also Mr. Sky Blue. So you guys got to understand, the guy's got two amazing in this corner.
Yes, he does. And I was just giving him shit because, you know, it was like 15 minutes left in the show and they talk about 30-minute time limit. I was like, who are you fooling? Well, fuck, they fooled me. Because guess what? They went over time. So
it went over about 5 minutes. But
yeah, you know,
it was a great match, man.
Yeah, it was a very good match.
I'm not going to be out here like Meltzer giving out –
Oh, well,
I'm not gonna be out here like Meltzer giving out 17 stars for a match, but
Meltzer, the douchebag.
It was close.
It was close. Honestly, enough. I mean, you know,
we talked about the Takeshita match that he had on Sunday, at the pay per view. We said that was like the best match of the year. This right here, close second.
Yeah, I mean, Will Ospreay got his shit in, so you know that's all we really needed. So that's what we got. And
Julian, are you in a hotel drinking wine by yourself?
He would never.
What? Drinking by myself? What are you talking about? Oh, wait, this wine is won't stop. I seen that
wine bottle. Oh my god. So, this is why we're getting in so much trouble.
So I mean, I actually, out of all tonight, quite honestly. I got to give my match of the night to Hook and Brian Cage. Not because I like Hook. So it's kind of funny how this is going to sound really fucked up, but it's not. But I was at the grocery store the other day, and the dude who was bagging my groceries actually looked like Hook. And I was like, thanks, Hook. And I don't think he got the joke. But because he just had like the fucked up hair. But at the same time,
he was like, I'll red run the shit out of you right now.
Watching Brian Cage get the shit choked out of him was just great.
That's the ultimate David and Goliath match right there. Because I was like, I don't know why they're putting Hook in. Yeah, I mean, gonna look good. That match was good. I don't agree with that German flex on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with it, but on some level, it like reminded me of like being in child support court and you're like choking out your baby mama. And
like, what the fuck? Not on the show, please.
And I was like, go Hook, go. And so that's what happened.
Not on the show.
God.
Not on the show.
Not on the show.
But then, of course, Okada getting introduced was great. Yeah. Okada being introduced as part of the Elite. They're going to turn on him at some point, but I mean, whatever.
No, I already knew that was going to happen for two reasons. One, Okada is like best of the Bucks.
Number two, like,
they've been best friends. Number two, Okada likes to wear his clothes. So that's probably where he got that suit from. Okay. I just think that that's the best way to introduce him. The whole Rainmaker gimmick, perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
Do you think him and Shinsuke Nakamura shop at the same suit store?
Yeah.
Probably not, because Shinsuke's suit was way too fucking big. Looks stupid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's got the big big and tall when he's short and skinny.
Him and
hey, where is Brandon? I know how we can find Brandon. Hold on.
He's someplace practicing shooting with his 45.
Let's see.
30-second dance party.
Oh, someone's at my door. Hold on. He's like dancing outside my door. My dog bites him.
What is Brandon's last name?
Faulkner.
What the fuck are you talking about? Oh, Faulkner. Anyway, it was a great show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here tonight on the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast. We'll see you guys on Friday with a rewind and maybe.
I got a message from Brandon and he says he doesn't do Wednesdays.
He doesn't do Wednesdays?
Yeah, he doesn't do Wednesdays.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not going to say nothing because he might show up in. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We'll see you guys on Friday.